Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there is enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I'm so honored because today I have the fabulous Tiffany with me, and she is the founder of Gals That Brunch. In addition to that, is a community strategist. And Tiffany, thank you so much for being here today.
Of course. I'm so excited to be here this morning. I can't wait.
Well, we're excited to have you and just to learn about your journey, because like we were talking about before, just everybody has a different story and journey of their entrepreneurship, but I would love for you to expand on what that's been like for you and how you got to today.
Oh my, yeah, fully loaded question.
I know.
So I hate to say this, but I actually think I came from a family of failed entrepreneurs, if you will. So I actually grew up with a single grandmother who raised me. And growing up, my uncle had like a surfboard business that was like super popular, and then it closed down. And then my grandma had a really cute like women's boutique downtown that like was super successful for like years to come. And then the convention center was expanding in downtown San Diego. They shut it down, like shut down all traffic because they were building onto it. And so like I just watched her like put band-aids on the business over the years. And then it was like, I don't think I can make it anymore, and like losing everything. And so for myself and how that shaped and conditioned me was like, I will never be an entrepreneur. I am going to seek after safety and security. And if I ever want to build something, I'm going to be at the top echelon. And so I don't ever have to worry about anything. And so that's what I spent my 20s doing, like working in higher education. I lived all around the country. I moved at the drop of a hat, like, hey, we need you to move next week to Colorado. I'm like, all right, here I come, you know, and live that. And then I just got to this point where I realized I'd worked my 20s away and I kept hitting the ceiling of my career and there was nowhere else to go. And I kept finding myself frustrated for that because I knew that there was more and I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like. But as I was moving around the country, I started something called Gals That Brunch. And I was like, how does someone make friends? And it's such an awkward question to ask because you're like, what's wrong with me? And I started inviting women to the brunch table and just said, hey, like a couple of girlfriends, we get together every month. We try different brunch places around the area, super low key. And that ended up exploding to over 2,000 people when I lived in Virginia. And it was kind of like that moment of what the heck is happening right now. And it's like, I've always been somebody that's wanted to make this huge impact in the world, but I never knew that what that was going to look like. But it was literally out of my experience of being and who I already was that shaped my gifting and calling. And so somebody wanted to start another chapter. And I was like, I don't know what this looks like, but let's do this. And fast forward 5 years, we're now in 120 cities around the world. We have chapters set up in Australia and Canada and the US. And it's kind of just been figuring it out along the way. I will say the biggest like shame bubble, I guess I'd want to pop around entrepreneurship, is that everybody thinks that, oh, I have to look like I have my act together. And I quit my job and I'm doing this full time and it's amazing, or whatever the case is, but I'm a single young professional. That hasn't been my case. So I've had to work full time while building a business. And then I've gotten it to a point where I was able to quit my job and COVID happened, you know, like, and so it's always kind of been this like pool of what that looks like. And then going back to part-time work to make it work for whatever the time being. And then this last year, because of Clubhouse, I was finally able to get to that point again where I was like, okay, you know, like, I think that I'm going to make this work and really take a step of faith that's like, all right, I've lined up my ducks enough that I can take this leap of faith and actually pursue like what this really looks like. But it's always kind of been that like ebb and flow of like, I'm a fake entrepreneur because I'm like, working while also building something, and then also getting to the point that it's like, no, I'm really proud that I did what it took to work full time while also building something that is, you know, like a passion of mine as well. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And, you know, it's so interesting too, because there's so many entrepreneurs out there like that I've read magazines or articles or anything online of like, I quit my job and now I'm full force entrepreneur. And so to your point, like, I understand I worked part time while I was building my business as well. Like, I needed more capital. I needed to build things. And I don't really talk about that a lot, but I'm so glad that you're bringing it up, because I think if people understood too, it's not for everyone. However, it's building like that side hustle until it becomes your full-time income. Like Gary Vee talks about it a lot as well. And there's no shame around it. There shouldn't be any shame. There's no shoulds. but I do think that when we actually like unpack it and understand what we're doing is best for us in the long run, and making financial decisions that make best for us. I mean, this is not financial advice, but being able to understand too what it takes. And a lot of people don't realize up front how much work goes into behind the scenes. And so for you, I know it was a constant pull and tug and everything, but what has really transpired behind the scenes for you as an entrepreneur as you were building your business?
Yeah, I think for me, for the most part, was just recognizing my worth. I had no problem negotiating my world in corporate America and being like, you know, this is the salary standard I'm going after. But it took the longest journey it took me in building Gals at Brunch, or building my private practice of consulting and helping other people build community, of like, what the heck? Like, people like want to work with me? Like, how does this work? You know, like, it was just kind of this like evolution. And to the point, for the first probably 3 to 4 years that I was building Gals at Brunch, I never showed my face hardly ever. I like would show all the girls coming to our brunches, and I would show all of our different city leaders, because I didn't ever want anyone to think, oh, I was making it about myself or trying to build something based off of that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, a lot of it had to do with false humility or just being scared, or, you know, like whatever labels that people would want to put on you. And I realized that I was doing that as a disservice, and that I was doing that out of being scared and not putting myself fully out there. And I honestly say it's a miracle that I was able to grow it to what I was able to grow it to, because as we kind of well know in the business world, it's like your personal brand, and you have to have your personal brand involved into it. And I think about how much more explosive it would have been if I had done that earlier, because the truth is, it wouldn't have existed if it weren't for me or my story or how it shaped me or how I think about things or the empathy or compassion that I have for women that are in transition, moving to a new city, getting married, getting divorced. And they're like, at that like middle ground of like, how do I find community? How do I create friends? And none of that would have existed if it weren't for my story of being raised by a grandmother and being raised by all different kinds of people and demographics and things like that. So at the end of the day, it was like really recognizing like what I was worth and then putting a charge to it. Like, people would reach out to me and be like, I want to start a community like yours. And I would spend 4 hours on the phone with them being like, this is how you do it and everything. And then they're like, honey, you need to charge for this. And I was like, oh, you know, like, this is a service, like, you know, like not even realizing it. And so it's just kind of been that evolution and that process, and realizing when I don't put myself out there, it's actually selfish, as I tell a lot of my clients, because it's like, don't keep your gifts from the world. And then also when you allow people to pay you and allow people to put your money, like, that's a piece of their heart. Like, where people put their money is where their heart is, you know? And so it's allowing people to invest into their business by investing into me so that I can help them move forward, you know? So that would probably be the biggest, probably, evolution, if you will.
That's a huge evolution. And I do love the fact that like the community that you have built in person, but also like that's how I first met you, was on Clubhouse, and the community and just how you commanded the room in such a beautiful way, and like really open and compassionate and empathetic. And like, there's a lot of different types of people out there, but like, I think that's what gravitated me towards becoming friends with you and being able to hear your voice and just what you stood for, because I do think community creates so much empowerment, and that's, it's all about empowerment, especially women empowerment. Like, I'm a huge advocate for that. But I think when you look at just how people, when they move to a new city, or if they're in their like early 30s, to be exact, like starting over, not knowing who to go out with or like friend-wise or creating that community, that is so imperative because you might have a job, but like maybe you don't like vibe with your coworkers, or if you're starting a business and you're like, I need to make friends, I want to be able to be social too. It's so much more than that. So when it comes to these brunches, like what has been some of the things that you've picked up on that have been like themes of all the different ones, like across the globe from maybe what you've heard or what you've experienced?
Yeah, I think it's probably threefold. I think one of the things is like we live in this society or this culture that everybody feels more connected than ever, but it's because of social media. And so everybody knows everyone's life update in 250 character statuses, you know, like, and they think, oh my gosh, so-and-so has it all together. And in the simple showing up for a brunch, like how much energy you're able to just all of a sudden like let out because you don't realize how much you've been carrying on your shoulders to show up or be perceived in a certain value or a certain way. And you've forgotten what it's almost like to be human. And nobody can put a value on that of just being able to sit down and realize like, oh my gosh, like I spilled coffee on myself earlier this week. And I can laugh about that with someone and be like, oh my gosh, there's someone else out here that feels like they're a hot mess or that they're disorganized or overwhelmed in some sort of way. And there's like this reprieve that happens that when someone leaves a brunch, then it's like, oh my gosh, like I can go into my week knowing that I'm less alone in this world because there's someone out there that's just like me. There's someone else out there that's a me too. Like, oh my gosh, you know, you don't have to do this alone. I think the second piece of it is that people also in a society, it's like, we want to be entertained or like, you know, okay, like you just brunch or like, what does this look like? You know? And so it's like, people are almost like skeptical and like, you just show up and you go to brunch and it's like, hell yeah, you show up and you go to brunch because it's not often about what you get, but it's often a lot of times of what you can give. And, mm-hmm. you know, like when we think about how separate our world is right now and the spectrum of yes and no and the pros and cons and just kind of where everybody stands, we're in this like cancel culture of like, I'm just not going to be friends with that person anymore. And again, it's because we've forgotten what it looks like to be human and to be in community and to be able to respect different viewpoints and know like, oh my gosh, like you can believe that, but I can still love you as a human being. And like for me, like I honestly, like it's like since the beginning of Gals at Brunch, I was like, this is what like world peace looks like. This is how we start. Like, because it's the biggest commonality is like, we all need nourishment at the end of the day. We all need food to survive. And so it's almost like everybody's guards are down. Everybody's phones are put down. Like everything's out of the way that we can just connect. And it's like, what can we give to one another? And it's like, you know, sometimes people sign up for brunch and then on a Saturday morning, they're like, why did I do that? I just want to stay in bed. I don't want to go meet 30 people at a brunch table, you know? But again, it's like you show up and you realize that by you not showing up, you're keeping the gift of you, like the gift of people getting to know you and who you are, and you're worth being known and you're worth being seen and you're worth being celebrated. And so it's often the amount of times it's not about what you can get, but it's about what you can give too. And we need everyone. We need everybody's giftings. We need everybody's energy. And we need to pursue community in the cities that we live in to know that we're less alone in this big world. And it can seem really crazy sometimes, but it's like we can do something really simple by just going to share a meal and some kindness with someone at the end of the day, and it can change everything.
Yes. When you were saying the world peace thing, I just have to go back to that because that's literally what I was thinking, how you were describing it, because it is like feeling less alone in this world, especially when you're going through something really tough, and just being able to like laugh and enjoy someone else's company and meeting other empowering people of all walks of life and coming together for that common feel of just enjoying a meal together. And like, I mean, I love brunch, so like I'm all about it. Yeah. but I think too, it's just about that community piece that you really drive home of knowing that you can give so much, and just sharing your story, sharing what you're passionate about can light somebody else up or give somebody else an idea, or being able to feel heard or seen. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, with community is communication, being able to communicate clearly and effectively with other people, being able to feel seen, heard, and understood in a world where you might not feel like that. And that's what I feel like it really embodies what you're saying. Like everything I'm hearing, I'm like, yes, yes. Like everything I know already.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, no, it feels like that. And what do you think, like, with everybody that's come to these brunches, do you continue those brunches like moving forward? How does that look? So people like might be interested, they know a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So to be honest, when COVID happened, the spectrum was super far and wide on where people were at with it. And so we kind of hit the digital streets and we did some digital brunches and they were fun and they were amazing. And it was really cool because it gave us, we were planning to do like a retreat where we were bringing all of our different chapters together that year. And we weren't able to do that in person, but we were able to do that online, which was something that we hadn't done in the history of Gals at Brunch. So it was really cool to see like all these different chapters together that haven't had a chance to interact. And then there was Zoom fatigue, you know, like it was kind of like, okay, we could do this for a few weeks, you know, and then it was like, all right, like, I don't know if I have it in me to do another virtual brunch. And so we did them occasionally, and then Clubhouse came around and kind of took over, you know, my life. And to be honest, a lot of it did feel like a Gals at Brunch experience because you're interacting with all these different human beings and you're connecting and we're all in our home together in our pajamas and, you know, like all the things. And then as the world has slowly started to kind of like pivot and navigate whatever we want to call the season that we're in now, I was like, do I do this? Do I come back to it? Like, I didn't know. Like, I was like, you know, I could focus on building my personal business, you know, through like doing the community strategy. Do I do Gals at Brunch? Because it kind of looked like having to rebuild a lot of it, you know, like different city leaders moving away and just, you know, some people not feeling comfortable in coming out yet, you know, and just kind of wanting to honor that experience. And I didn't know if I had it in me. And I just kind of did a lot of soul searching over the last 6 months. And I was like, I need to put a brunch on the calendar and like kind of see if this is something I'm going to continue to do. And so last month I put our first brunch. I'd moved back to San Diego in September and I put our first brunch on the calendar a month ago, and I went and I like left like crying because it was like, this is why I do what I do. And, you know, like half of the table were women that have come before that I haven't seen in 2 years, but it only felt like 2 weeks, you know? And another half of the table were like, they moved to San Diego 2 years ago and they're like, we've been waiting for you to open, you know? And like women are coming back, like, you know, like maybe they went through a divorce during COVID or lost their job, or, you know, just like, there is heartache and heartbreak and just intense healing that people need to get after coming through this season of highs and lows and what can I expect anymore and what am I living for, you know, type of thing. And it's like community happens again. And it's like, you remember who you are, like you get knitted back together at the table. And that's what I saw happen. And I was like, this is why I do what I do. Like, I have to keep doing this. And so I'm in kind of the middle of thinking through, you know, like, how do I rebuild this in a sustainable way? Because when I was doing it prior to COVID, it was like 12 events a month personally for myself, because in San Diego, we have 10,000 women in our chapter. And so it's like, like I'm trying to do as many events as possible to get people into it. And so building a team here and then slowly building our chapters up again. Right now we have probably like 15 to 20 chapters that have been active and getting involved and getting out there slowly within the last couple of months. And we'll continue to unfold that. We have a lot of chapters that have reached out to us to start a chapter in their city. And we've kind of purposely have held back because we're like, we'll get back to you in a few months. Let us kind of figure out what we're doing here. And then we'll, you know, circle back around. But yeah, so that is kind of the season and stage that we're in right now.
And, you know, it's interesting too, because when you look at businesses, there's been a lot of highs and lows for a lot of businesses. And like COVID really impacted so many, including Gals at Brunch. And so with all of the like obstacles that you had to overcome, like, I mean, you were able to do the Zooms and that like really helped, but then people got Zoomed out because it was just too much. And I understand that, like a lot of us did. But what do you think, like going back, because it just sounded so powerful. I got chills when you were saying like that first one you just had and being able to continue on with that. What do you think has been that shift of like, I guess it's almost like it sounds like you never gave up. Like you knew it was there, but like you were able to push through anything that might have come your way.
Yeah, I mean, for the last 5-6 years that we've been doing this, it's always felt like we're almost there. Like, we're almost there. Like, cause it's just like, it's growing all around me. We're around the world. We're figuring out sponsorships and ads and how to monetize and things like that. And it's like, we're almost there, you know? And then with COVID, it was like, okay, what the heck does this look like? And that's when I started building my personal business. Because I was still holding on to Gals at Brunch, knowing that, all right, like, I don't know what this is going to look like yet, but I have always known that there's something here and it's worth fighting for. And it's, again, like, it's like, yeah, brunch is the vehicle, but the heart of it, or the mission and like the pursuit of it, is like making sure that women feel less alone in this world too. It's like what happens around the table of empowerment and really speaking identity into people, and like going like, you know, like I feel like at the brunch table, people come week to week and it's like a tough situation happened. And it's like reminding them like, this is who you are, you know, like, and that's like why we do what we do, is like to do that. And so it was always holding on to the bigger mission and calling versus the vehicle of what we were doing. And so as I pivoted and started working on my own business, it was like, well, I could start raising up other community builders around the world that want to implement community building principles into their own business. And it has been super successful and has sustained, you know, me monetarily as well in doing this. And so, you know, it's kind of allowed me to almost pursue this bigger mission of raising up this next generation of community builders while also doing the work, because I can't lead people in doing that if I'm not doing the work myself and committed to doing that. Because I can be like, all right, you should be building community in your business, and then sitting back and doing nothing. And I was like, no, I have to roll up my sleeves and I have to be somebody that's leading the way and continuing to pioneer territory now that hasn't been done before. How do you build community when the spectrum is still far and wide? Like, how do you build community when people aren't sure if they're, you know, comfortable in coming in person together yet? So how do you build community online? Like, I have to be preaching and doing what I'm preaching, you know? So it's kind of like, that's sort of the journey that I've been on as we've had to pivot and evolve and thinking like this. But again, that's brought me back to the bigger mission and calling of what we're doing and what I want to do and how I want to impact people and influence and encourage the world to do more of, because I think that's what we need to create, especially after the last 2 years.
Absolutely. And you know, you are a true trailblazer, like being able to pioneer all of this. And I really appreciate the fact of you saying like doing the work. Like when we do the work ourselves, that's what implements change. That's what allows us to see futuristic wise of like the vision of taking those steps and being able to go on the path unknown and everything, especially like starting from higher education and like having being in the corporate world and then moving into the entrepreneur world and just that shift too. I'm curious, because similar, I was in higher education as well and moved into the coaching world. But what was that experience like for you to shift from being in corporate to being an entrepreneur, especially with the background of like having family members that were entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I loved my experience in corporate. Like, I started off super green and fresh and hit the ground running. I started at a for-profit higher education institution that was like growing at kind of the scale of when the like economy had dipped. And so everybody was going back to school. And so I watched like kind of a company start from the ground up. And then I was able to like grow with that company. And so it was like really exciting, you know, like being able to promote every few months and now go move to a different city and help start a new campus. And, you know, like all those things, like it was really exciting. And, you know, like I oversaw student services departments and career services departments and things like that. So mm-hmm. I love kind of helping people figure out next steps. It's kind of what I do in my personal business as well, is just like helping people kind of birth that dream of what they're wanting to do. And so I love the experience. It was just that as I got to the top, I kept feeling like I was fighting the ceiling of knowing that I was like made for more. And there was only so much that you could do with whatever scope or the field that you were in. So it was always my mission to work as hard as I could to get as high as I could in whatever company or sphere of industry or influence that I was in. And then, you know, so I could walk into any other company and start off as a C-level executive and be like, this is how I'm going to change and impact you. So I had moved to Virginia Beach, which is where Gals at Brunch started, to work at a different university. Mm-hmm. And I was consulting them with their best retention practices and things like that. And it was a great experience, but it was also as Gals at Brunch was building, I was like, my heart is over here. And it was like this really interesting shift or transition, because this was what I've always known, but yet this was becoming like alive and awake in me of like, could I actually do this as a career? Like, can I help people find friends and get paid for it? Like, what? You know, so it's allowed me to start really dreaming of what that was going to look like, and just getting quiet and finding those moments to strategize. Like when I work with clients, I think that sometimes we all think that there's something inherently wrong with us. Like they're like, nobody experiences the amount of overwhelm or stuck that I feel. Like this is like a me issue, like a no one else issue type of thing. And then we're Googling late at night, like, what does this mean, or whatever the case that happened. And so then we think that we need to like hire someone to like fix us. And hiring someone to help support us is very different than someone coming in to fix you. And for me,
very different.
It's like you already have all the tools and strategies within you of the very things that you're called to do. And sometimes it's just creating the discipline in our life and making sure that we create the focus space to actually take time within ourselves to do that soul searching of like, what are my next steps going to do? And then you have an amazing coach and you have other people that are able to kind of speak into it. And you know, at that point that you can't afford to get stuck in whatever step that you're in. So you have someone to call, you know? And so that was kind of the process that I was like walking out the last couple of years, was like shifting from that being like, I don't know what to do, you know, like to the point of like, okay, I know what to do. And now like, I just need to have certain people around me that can help support me in that transition of how to create an offer, or, you know, like, or just, you know, different things like that, or work on my messaging, or, you know, just like all the things that like we could grow in. And I helped some friends like build an e-commerce business when I transitioned back to California. So I, you know, like experience a different industry from higher education, if you will. And I learned, and you know, it's kind of one of those moments where you're like, what am I doing here? How did I find myself in this role? And then you realize like, oh, like everything is so purposeful for along the journey. Cause it's like, now I have marketing and digital marketing, creative direction and art direction, and you know, all these different skills under my hat that have allowed me to build what I'm building today.
Yeah, I'm just like unpacking all of that right now, because there's so much like that goes into building a business, but also your journey from higher education and like applying all the skill sets that you got to Gals with Brunch to your personal business now. And I want to touch more on your personal business, because I know as a community strategist, what does that entail? I know you kind of already touched on it, but maybe a little bit more about that, because I think people that might have no idea what that is.
Yeah, it's so fascinating because as a community purist, I have heard community thrown around like no other over the last couple of years in the digital marketing space. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And it's because there's been this like huge drive to continue to build audiences. And I have to continue to remind people, audience is not your community, but an audience is a great way to build your community. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, okay, what does community really look like? And why would you want to build community as a business owner? And the truth is, it's like, you can worry about like customer acquisition and you can put all this money into ad spend, or you can have this group of ideal customers, like your ideal avatar that you like absolutely love, and then just multiply that if you just focus in on your community and not have to worry about customer acquisition and sorting through who's going to stick with you and whatever the case is. It's like, do the hard and holy work, focus on the 20 people, build community, and then allow that to multiply and go for it. So as a business owner, I actually think it's more crucial than ever to focus on building community or building a community roadmap within your business, because it's like the oldest marketing tactic that's out there, but it's not a marketing tactic. It's like, it's just, but it's the most like purest, because more than ever, humans cry out for belonging. We're crying out for connection. And so it's like, why wouldn't you find a roadmap to implement that into your business? And so I work with 7, 8, 9 figure entrepreneurs that offer membership programs, that offer coaching, and kind of the key part of it is that then they'll experience retention problems as people come into their coaching thing, because it's like people spend money and invest in that product, and then they're like, something else is shiny out there. Maybe that person's going to solve my issue, or that person's going to solve my issue. When again, it's like, just take the coaching, you know, like you don't need to keep hopping around from community to community, but ultimately people are hopping around because they don't have the stickiness, which is what we found out on Clubhouse and social media, is that all of those social media apps are actually monitoring your overall stickiness rate. They're wanting to keep you onto those platforms for as long as possible and not losing your attention to other competing social media apps. And so you have to think about how you can implement that as a business owner. And so I partner with those business owners to help them build community, then help them scale community, and then help them nurture community so that people stay with them, and it ultimately improves your overall lifetime customer value. I think it's way more rewarding and giving back because you're not doing this alone. You're actually building your organization or your products that you offer with the people that you love. And I don't think there's anything more honoring than being able to like partner with those that have already invested into you and go, you know, like, I love your product, I love your services, I love you, you know, type of thing. So why not like lock arms with those people to continue to build out whatever you're building? And so that is long, short answer of like what exactly community strategist does. And so then I work doing consulting with like some of the higher level entrepreneurs, but then I also run a community builders boot camp for business owners and entrepreneurs that want to build community and what that looks like and implementing that into their business. So that's kind of like what my group program is. And then individually, I work with people that are trying to think about like something that they want to build, but they're not sure what they want to build yet. And oftentimes it's like some sort of community or movement that's kind of been in their heart, but they're not sure that there's a map that exists for it. And it's like, let me help you unlock the map that is within you and find your way to doing that. So in the, like I said, short answer, long answer, that's sums up kind of this community strategy world.
Well, I think everyone can benefit from a community strategist because I knew a little bit, but now I know way more. And I do believe, like, if even you think back to like old times before social media, everything was word of mouth or like, okay, well, this person worked with so-and-so, you should check it out too. But I think that's what it's rebuilding. It's like full circle in a way of really getting down to what the person needs, but being able to offer that and having that support around it is huge. I truly believe community is everything outside of communication. but I do think like when we're able to connect and be vulnerable and understand one another, and know we're not alone. And I just want to drive that home, because I think that is one of the most important things of belonging and knowing you belong. And it's finding that right community for you. And that's why I love like what you're doing with Gals at Brunch, and then also being a community strategist to create more communities that can be, have more empowerment around them and support and just feel understood.
I think that's all we want at the end of the day, is to feel seen, heard, and loved. And so I always like, I literally was teaching at a mastermind this week, and I had this like easel up, and I was like, just be a fantastic human being.
That's it.
That's all.
It's perfect. People
want to keep coming back, I promise.
Oh my gosh, Tiffany, I've been having so much fun with you, but I want to respect your time, and we're going to get into the fire rapid questions if you are ready, or rapid fire.
I'm ready.
Made up a new thing. So when it comes to your hero, do you have a hero? And if you do, who is your hero?
Yeah. As I mentioned, I was raised by my grandma, and she is absolutely my hero. She's the epitome of grace and wisdom in so many different ways. And I just love our relationship, like as adults, you know, growing up, it was that we had our challenges, but now it's like, I can't help but realize the sacrifices that she made for me to be who I am today. And that's something that I don't ever take for granted, and I carry with me every day.
Mm. Well, she sounds like a wonderful woman, and I'm glad that she is your hero, because she helped you become who you are, being able to have that foundation piece of somebody who is so empowering and forthright and just building that community. She built that for you too.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that. What motivates you to work hard or work smarter, or just really motivates you in general?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's my love for people. Like, I love people so much. And I like to call myself like the professional friend, you know, like, and I mean, I could meet a stranger off the streets and be like, what is it on your heart that you want to do, and champion that person like into a larger than life reality of like, you have to do this. Don't you know who you are? Like, I love humans, and I love the capacity for human nature, and just always wanting to root for humans to do better, you know, like I know that we can. And I can't explain that. I know oftentimes that's not normal, but it's the makeup of who I am, and just always wanting to cheer people on and expect better and to do better and to just make the biggest impact possible.
And you are. I mean, I feel it every time I've heard you speak. And right now, it's just like, I feel your heart. Like, it's so, so big. And just being able to really just have the compassion that you have, and other people to feel that and want to continue on with that as well, with all the communities that you have built. Yep. So if you were a superhero, what powers would you have, or power?
Goodness gracious, as if I was a superhero. I mean, I'm going to laugh at it, but I mean, I always feel like it would probably be the cloak of invisibility.
Yeah. And why?
Because I am the most curious human being in the entire planet. And I just love to know what shapes people. And it's like, man, especially leadership right now has been like so heavy on my heart. And I'm like, I just want to be in the rooms of these world leaders that are making decisions. And I want to hear what they're processing and what's going through their hearts. And just, you know, cause it's so easy to judge. It's so easy to be like, what the F are they thinking? You know, like, how could they do something like that? And it's like, we first and foremost forget like, hey, they're human. They're processing through real life feelings and emotions and discernment and wisdom. And I just want to hear the process of what that's going on. And people are, I'm like curious, nosy, whatever you want to say. Like, I'm fascinated by it all. And I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
I mean, it is really like interesting to hear like where people's like the psychology behind it. Like, it always fascinates me too. It's just like, where is that coming from? What's behind all of that?
I know.
And like, that's exactly what you're saying.
100%.
Well, I think that would be a really cool power. So when you have that power, let us all know.
I definitely will.
Perfect.
Get me in those rooms.
We'll get the play-by-play.
Exactly.
So if you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Wow, wow, wow. If I could share a meal with four individuals, living or dead.
I should say brunch, but...
Yeah, brunch. One would be Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
The other would be Yeba, who's also a musical artist that I'm obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Both of them, like, just sing from... There's, like, something unworldly in how they sing and what's, like, how they've been able to unlock that intimacy that everybody else can experience it, too. And I grew up as somebody that sings and things like that, and I'm just like, like, I want to know more. The other two people, I would be my grandpa, my papa. He died of cancer when I was younger, but I remember him being like my most favoritest person in the world. And he died when I was 8. And so it's like, I always think about like, man, I would love to like have those experiences with him and have him know, you know, what he thinks of today, you know, it would just be an amazing experience. And the fourth would maybe be my sister. So we have ever grown up in the same household because my grandma raised me, my mom raised her, and she's significantly younger than I am. And so growing up, like we always got to see each other oftentimes, like during holidays and different things like that. And now we see each other less because she's, you know, exploring the world of being an adult and I don't have to come home for Christmas if I don't want to, you know, type thing. So, but I would love to just have more time with her, and what better way than to have it with the three people that I would love to sit down with and experience that with her. So, yeah.
That sounds like a beautiful meal that would unfold of just all the information and being able to musically inclined as well. I'm sure the three of you could sing.
Yes, that would be fun.
I was going to say a trio. I was like, what's the word? Trio.
Yeah, that would be the dream.
Hey, you never know. You never know. Maybe people come back. I don't know.
Yeah.
Moving on. What is the most daring thing you've ever done?
Most daring thing that I've ever done would have to be moving across the country by myself. Like when my very first relocation, I relocated 5 times after that. But the first time it was literally a 2-week notice. We need you in Denver in 2 weeks. And it was so terrifying. I had only driven through Colorado once. So I was on a 1-way plane ticket with a suitcase packed for like 1 month because I was going to be living in corporate housing and waiting for my stuff to be shipped over. And I remember I arrived in Denver in April, actually, and it was supposed to be spring and it was blizzarding outside. And I was like in flip flops and shorts coming from San Diego being like, oh my gosh. And then I felt like Cool Runnings where I like just opened up my suitcase and put as many layers on as I could. I look like a homeless person. And I remember driving in the van downtown to Denver and like arriving in this like high rise where I'd be living for the next month and being like, what did I just do? And all the emotions and the feelings that hit you. And that year was the hardest year because, you know, like I got involved with softball teams. I went to young professional happy hours, church, you name it, trying to find community. And it probably took me close to a year and a half of feeling like I had one person that I could call. And then that one person grew from there, but it was so challenging. And I put myself out there over and over and over again. And I just hadn't ever been in that type of experience before where like you just don't become friends with coworkers or things like that. But it was like my first big promotion. I was like running a huge team of like 100 people, you know, like, and so the dynamics of it just look a little bit different and the playground gets a little smaller and you're like, okay, how do I find people? And it just became really hard first year. And I don't want anyone else to ever have to experience that, or I don't want it to have to take so long. Like that's just silly. Because there's plenty of amazing people out there that you can have a chance to meet. So yeah.
Yes. And just to like highlight that too, it's almost like that's like, I don't know if that's the moment it like unleashed, but like the mission behind Gals at Brunch of like just not, again, like feeling alone or just meeting people that really connect with you and just creating this beautiful amount of people together at the same place. And it just like, it really hits me because I just feel like it is really eye-opening for people to realize too, especially like being an entrepreneur, it's a very lonely journey as well. But being able, it doesn't matter where you are at life, but being able to have that plate, that table that you can sit at, that nobody is like saying anything, you are just really coming together and open. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. And yeah. I think we all feel a little bit less alone in this world.
I think so too. And so the next question I have is, what's that phone app that you use the most?
Oh gosh, I would have to say most recently, it's probably been TikTok.
I just got TikTok. I'm like obsessed.
It's a little embarrassing, like how long you end up getting caught up into that app of like, oh my gosh, like what's happening right now? And I just feel so lost. I'm like, oh, this is such a like a Gen Z playground. Like, you know, like how do they make all these TikToks and how are they so creative? And I'm making a fool out of myself and just trying to learn how to TikTok. But it's, you know, going to be the fastest growing app this year. It's already surpassed Instagram and kind of like YouTube, and TikTok are like edging for first place. Like every week, one outbeats the other. So I'm like, hey, as a business owner, we're having to get savvy and yeah, you know, get out of our comfort zones and explore it.
Well, I will definitely see you on TikTok. So Lord. What is the last book that you've read?
The last book that I read, gosh, what was the last book that I read? The last book that I read was, I actually reread one of my childhood favorite books. It's so weird. It's like, I think I read it in like the fifth grade, but it always sticks with me. And it's called A Father's Promise. And it's about like in World War II, this like boy and his father get like separated and like how they survive in World War II separated. And I don't know what it is about that book, but I like always like weep. And it's also always like encouraging and like always reminding of like that there's hope in this world. And yeah, it's just, it's like I love a good ending. I'm obsessed with great endings, you know, like movies, if they have bad endings, I'm like, how dare they, you know? And no. People are like, but it's not real life. And I'm like, but that's why I go pay.
Exactly. For you want to see the happy ending.
Exactly.
So speaking
of movies.
At least
for it to come full circle. Yeah.
So speaking of movies, if you were to have a movie made about your life thus far, who would play you?
Oh my gosh. That's a great question of who would play me. Who would play me? I think her name's Melissa McCarthy. Is that her name? Oh, yeah. That, yeah, she's like, yeah, yeah. Suki from Gilmore Girls. And
yes. Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, so she'd be really fun. I think it'd probably be like a mix of her and somebody else. yeah, probably her.
I could see it. You both have like a good sense of humor. You're funny.
Yeah, exactly.
I see it. She's yeah. Great actress.
Yes.
So what is your favorite family recipe? If you have one that you used to make or that you would eat or anything traditional wise?
Yeah, so my family's Sicilian, we're Italian. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I love hosting like family dinner nights and inviting friends over and whatnot. So I always know like I can knock it out of the park doing that. So I typically make a really good like chicken piccata with like a risotto or something along the lines of that. That's always gets pretty requested among my friends. Or I make a really good like vegetarian lasagna. That's like a white lasagna that everyone, like I have a family friend that lives in Hawaii, and whenever I come in, they're like, we'll pay for all the ingredients. We just need you to make five pans of it.
Oh, wow.
They're like, whatever you do, you can't leave without making this for us. So yeah. So anything Italian though, I'm like, and if anyone ever asks me to repeat a recipe, it will never be the exact same ever. It'll be similar, but it's always like a little bit of this, whatever I'm feeling that day. So yeah.
It's good. You mix it up. You know, it's the same like ingredients, but just the amounts. It's
exactly.
Well, those sound delicious. And I'm sure your friends, when you get to Hawaii, they're like, we're picking you up from the airport and driving you straight to the kitchen.
Yeah. I appreciate that I can be that friend for them.
Yes. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, like personality wise, what animal would it be?
Personality wise, probably like a golden retriever, just because they're like everyone's best friend, known as like super loyal, and they get excited and whatnot. Like probably a golden retriever mixed with like a manatee. I'm obsessed with manatees.
I mean, they are pretty cool.
They're living their best life. I like love to float in pools and like find lazy rivers. So I'm like, I see you, manatees.
I got you. Florida has so many.
Exactly. Yeah, I was born in Tampa, so I think that's probably why like they're close to my heart.
Absolutely. So if you're having a bad day, what's something that instantly makes it better?
So honestly, it's not necessarily that it makes it instantly better, but it's just kind of that like tool of remembrance. And I have a book of like declarations that I've made over my life, or, something that I call like an identity statement that I like have like, you know, taken time in my quiet time to write about, like, this is who you are. Along with just like, even like things that people have like written to me of like, what is meaningful for them about me. And I literally have a book because I know that I can't afford to like not to get caught up in any other lie. And it's like a waste of time to go spinning and being like, oh my gosh, you know, like down that rabbit trail. And so it's something that I like, it's a place that I fight from. And it's a place that I also like knowing like anything that I'm about to walk into really important, or I'm having a bad day, I like open up that book and it's like, no, this is who you are, Tiffany. So like, get yourself off the ground, because believe me, there are days and I'm like, I don't want to get up today, you know. And it's again, it's like I continue to fight for my identity, because I know that's so much of the work that I'm involved in and helping for other people. And so I'm leading the breakthrough in my own life and knowing like I'm fighting for mine, and so I can fight for yours too.
Leading from the front.
Yes.
That's what it's about. A true leader. And so what is your favorite way to spend a day off? So if you don't have anything going on or nothing scheduled, I should say, what do you like to do?
Yeah, I love sleeping. That's always like the joke of like, what time are you going to get up tomorrow, Tiff? You know, like it was like a day off and I'm like, we'll see. But yeah, sleeping in is great. And then brunch with friends is even lovelier. And then going to a pool and floating in it is wonderful, wonderful. Maybe like catching up on a couple of TV shows that I missed, or I've like very rarely get a day off. So when I do, it's like, all right, what's happened in the last 2 months that I like need to get caught up on? And, you know, watching a movie, inviting some friends over, like doing a little family dinner night or something like that, like something where I have some alone time, and then also like time that I like invite others into it, because I kind of call myself like an ambivert, like I need to introvert to extrovert, and the extrovert I need to introvert. So you know, a little mix. Perfect. Of it all. Yes, balance.
That's what it's about. So my final question for the rapid fire questions are, what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
Wouldn't know about my history?
Is industry.
That what? Industry.
Yeah.
I would say that, I mean, it's probably a little bit of what I talked about earlier, where I think people just don't understand like the value of community. And I would say that most of the businesses that were able to survive the last couple of years of business had a pretty strong community around them, and the ones that didn't have community surrounded around them. And I lived in LA for the majority of COVID, and there were businesses everywhere that were completely shut down, and it was so sad. And it's like, man, if they had really had community to wrap around it, it would have lived, it would have outlived, you know, the loss of the business or street traffic or different things along that, because there's nothing that can replace community. And community isn't something to be lightly taken. It's taking a stand for people's lives. It's taking a stand for a transformed world. And it's treating everybody as a human being, you know, and honoring people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not the light and fluffy work. I think so many times, like, you know, like entrepreneurs I've talked to, they're like, oh, it's a waste of time or whatever the case is. And it's like, no, this is like the hard and holy work that you need to do. And it's not right for everyone, but for those that do embark on that journey, it's a life of transformation, and you won't ever be at the same level. You'll continue to level up with every chance that you can get. And so it's always worth it.
It absolutely is worth it. And just before I let you go, because this has been an amazing conversation and I so appreciate you, but where can people find you? How can they get in touch with you? Please let us know.
Yeah. So always on Instagram at Tiffany Alyssa with one Y, one S, one L, A-L-Y-S-A, or on Gals at Brunch. And then I'm that way on other social media platforms as well. You can follow me on TikTok and watch me make a fool out of myself with that. And then also my websites are galsatbrunch.com or tiffanyalyssa.com.
Perfect. And we will link those below so everyone can just click and go follow Tiffany on all the platforms and join her with TikToks and embrace it.
Yes, trying.
But thank you so much today, Tiffany, for joining us and just sharing your journey of how you can really impact people with community, but just who you are as a person. And I really wanted to highlight just you and all the amazing heart you have. So thank you again for joining us today.
Yes, thank you. You too. It takes one to know one. So I'm so excited and privileged to be here. So thank you.
Thank you. So make sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Tiffany that you got around community? I would love to hear. I know Tiffany would love to hear as well. And we will see you on the next video.